your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Gathering Radio Show here on the Para-X Network. And this is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie. How are you? What's shaking, Heidi?
I think you're trying to say three things at once.
I know, right? Oh, sometimes I'm just a little crazy like that, you know.
It's all good.
Yeah.
So, it is all good.
It is all good. Oh, my gosh. And today is the first Tuesday of July.
July. I know. We made it through a half of the year, 2020, which has proven to be some kind of adversary, but I won't say it on air. Yeah. Anyway, we made it. Half a year down, half a year to go.
Yeah, abnormal. It's been an abnormal year. Let's put it that way. And you know what? We're almost through Mercury retrograde, right? Because I believe that ends on Sunday. Thank goodness.
Yeah, we're almost done with that.
Yeah, it's been an easier one this time, but at the same time, I feel like it's made me a little bit crazy. More so this last weekend. I was super moody this last weekend, but you know what? The moon was full too. So I think
it was. It was really cool.
Ooh, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, Casey and I went to fireworks out in Ham Lake, and so we were out a ways, and yeah, that moon was just gorgeous.
Yeah, it was nice. We had fireworks here in Elk River and it was really cool. And of course you have the moon right there and, you know, we're already out in the country anyway. And so getting home, it was just like, whoa, it's really neat. But yeah, the energy was pretty wild and woolly this weekend. So because
it
I think
was.
That it was energy, yes. Eclipse happening and all that.
And the Mercury retrograde and oh my gosh, and nothing's normal, you know, in the world, nothing is normal. So, So thank goodness that's over. Soon Mercury retrograde will be over and then we should be on the path to a more stable and peaceful time.
Amazing Waddles in the chat room said 2020 has been amazing. Not this much excitement since the yellow fever. That's probably true. I think about what do we have? What else is next? I saw some post that there's some other, pandemic and other stuff happening. Okay, fine. And then, or some other disease, something coming up. And then someone else was saying, "What? There's nothing left." And I thought, well, there's always aliens.
Well, that's true.
So we haven't had that yet this year.
Well,
I'm sure there's a lot of things we haven't had yet. So we should probably just keep our mouths shut and hope for the best. Because you can't say it can't get any worse because it probably could get a lot worse.
You should never, ever say that. Yes, I'm knocking
on
wood.
Karen's saying knock on wood. No kidding.
We talked about that stuff last week. And so here I am knocking on my wood of my desk.
Yes. So
can it get worse?
Absolutely.
The moodiness. I'm telling you. So Casey and I didn't get to go to the lake house this weekend because, you know, we had went out and celebrated Casey's 30th. And even though we weren't in a bar per se, we went to, Casey went to the Cowboys, Cowboy Jack's. I think that's the name of it. And they have an outdoor patio. I stopped by for just a little bit, and they were kind of away from everyone else. So it was like a table that was away from everyone else. They had cool swings kind of things you sit at the tables. But everyone was afraid that because we were there, you know, and I was just there for a little bit. But Casey was there for a while. They didn't want us around, which is so sad. I felt so ostracized, you know. So we were quite moody about that. And then everything else. So, yes, I'm glad that weekend is over. Can I just say it's the first 4th of July. We weren't at the lake for, I don't know, a million years, you know. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of changes happening right now and a lot of accommodations that need to be made, you know, for the, sorry, my dog wanted to get on my lap, for the pandemic situation. We do have to make a lot of accommodations, but you know, it's in our best interest to do, you know, these aren't big discomforts considering what some people are going through having this awful virus. So I think making a few adjustments to my schedule and staying away from people when I get, you know, if I have to get together with someone in a situation, staying away is not so bad.
Yeah. Well, and a week from tomorrow, we fly to Seattle. And
yeah, that's right.
And what's interesting is, you know, I work for a company that we work for the airlines, right? We do the reservation system for, like, if you book a flight on Sun Country, for example, it's my company that runs that program and has that program, the reservation system software. And so a lot of people where I work fly continually, right? They're flying all over the world. We have offices all over the world. We have clients all over the world because they're airlines. And so since March, everybody's been grounded, right? Nobody's flown. So when they hear that Steffi is flying, even if it's just a 3.5-hour trip to Seattle, oh my gosh, everybody wants the scoop, right? Everyone that I talk to is like, Steffi, can you write a little blog about this when you get back? Can you take pictures? Because we're really anxious to see what it all looks like now. And I'm like, yeah, I can do that. I can take pictures and write about my experience. And, you know, so it'll be kind of fun. So yes, I have to document it. It'll be like a little journal, I think, you know, it'll be kind of fun. And I know they said, you'll be fine on the plane, but at the airports, stay away from people, blah, 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 you know, do this, but the plane should be okay. Thanks, you know, yeah.
So how do you space out in the airplane, though? I mean, people are sitting next to each other.
So here's the thing. So when we booked, they were not filling the middle seats, right? So Casey and I got in a row where I had the window seat, Casey had the aisle seat, and then the middle seat was booked. So we would have that whole 3-seat block. But Casey said, oh, I'm going to see how full the plane is or whatever. And she went on something else, not Sun Country. And it looked like they weren't blocking out that middle seat anymore. So we were all shook up and I plugged in our reservation code in suncountry.com and looked it up. And you know what? There's very few people flying. That plane can hold about 185 people. And out of that 185 people, only 50 seats have been sold. So there's going to be a lot of empty seats. The row that we're in, you know, the middle seat is open. So I don't know if they've really blocked it out or who's going to sit in the middle seat when there's, you know, 130 seats left open. Nobody.
Right.
But they did say, you know, they say that they've increased the air coming in from the outside, you know, as they're flying and they disinfect everything after every flight. And, you know, they're working on it. So hopefully we'll be fine. I think we will be. I'm more worried about the airport, you know? But like I said, we'll just stay away from everybody. And we have our little package of wipes and, you know, hand sanitizer and all that kind of stuff. So, and of course we have to wear face coverings for the whole thing. So,
Right.
We ordered these, they're called gaiters, you know, and you just wear them around your neck and then you can pull them up over your nose. I think they're much easier to breathe out of than the face masks. And we have so many different face masks that we've tried. And, you know, Jerry was kind enough. He brought over a whole pack of paper ones. He said, take these anyway. I know you have all this other stuff, but take it just in case you need it. And maybe there's somebody you're sitting next to or something that doesn't have one. You can give one to them. I'm like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. So we'll see. But yeah, that's the hardest part, I think, is the whole airport thing. So, but I'm excited. We're excited. So it's going to be fun to get back out to the island and see the whales and, you know, collect myself, you know, because I'm scattered.
Yep. No, I know. I've got the trip coming up next month, but we're going to be driving, of course, for our next paranormal road trip. So that worked out well last time because we packed all of our food and all we had to do was get gas. We didn't even have to go inside, which was nice. So yeah, it's interesting trying to figure out how to, you know, do the things you got to do and still stay safe, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, we went up north. Well, we were up north with Squatchers a couple of weekends ago, and that was just that was just fine. I mean, you know, we had it was fun, and you know, I don't know. I think if you're careful, you wash your hands, you use your wipes, whatever. I think you're fine. You know, as long as you're not, you know, touching people, I think you're going to be okay.
Well, yeah, and staying, you know, you got to stay a little ways away from people because people just don't know if they're sick. I mean, that's the problem.
Right. Right. Yeah. Anyway, but they are saying now that that virus is getting weaker. You know what I mean? So if you get it, whatever.
I don't know about that at all. But
well,
there's all sorts of information floating around out there that who knows what's true.
We don't know. But anyway, so tonight is our paranormal smorgasbord.
It is. Super excited because we always, we've done this, what, three times? But always, of the three, have had really cool input from the chat room.
Yes, yes. So, because everybody has stuff they want to talk about, which is so fun.
yes, absolutely. Yeah. Oh. So if there's anything that you all want to contribute from the chat room, anything you want to talk about, throw in your two cents here, go for it. Because this is our first Tuesday of the month smorgasbord. So we talk about anything and everything paranormal. Doesn't matter the topic, and we have had some cool topics in the recent past here. So anything you have to throw in there, please throw it in there. Karen already threw something in. She said dreams. What about dreams? What are we talking about with dreams? Dreams can go so many different directions, and dreams are always fun to talk about, depending on. Do you know, I get a lot of emails for people to ask if I do dream interpretation. And I do. I do quite a bit of that, actually. And it's kind of fun. I mean, depending on the dream. It's not always a fun dream, but it's fun to figure out what's going on, you know, because usually you can. So I get quite a few calls like that, which is kind of interesting. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought that. Let's see. Karen says messages and portents or omens, I'm guessing. I'm curious, Karen, if you get them, if you get messages through dreams. If you do, let us know. She said, I almost never have nightmares, but I've had a couple lately. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder.
I don't get a lot of nightmares either. And you know what? I almost never, I'm sure I dream, but I sure don't remember them or even having them having dreams. But the last few nights since the moon has been full. Okay, let's be clear here. It has been since the moon has been full. I've been dreaming like nonstop. It's like going to the movie theater when I go to bed at night. It's just crazy.
Did you remember them from the weekend?
No, not really. You know, but I just remember waking up and I think about them for a few minutes and I'm like, huh, wonder what that means. Right? Because we do. And you dream about people you haven't seen for a while or whatever. And it's like, huh, wonder if that means I should call, you know? Yeah, I don't know. It's quite interesting. But yeah, nightmares. I never have nightmares. I mean, once in a blue moon in my life, I've maybe had, I can count them on one hand in my whole life.
You can count the nightmares?
Yeah, I just don't have nightmares. Oh. I know when I was listening to the guys from this Abyss show, I forget what the name of it is on Sunday nights, but... Staring into the Abyss. So one of them's an author, and he has like...
Here
on the Para-X Network. And he has these horrendous nightmares, and he then writes a book about them. And I guess they're terrifying books. I wouldn't want to read them because I'm just not that type. But I'm just like, I wrote in the chat room, I said, oh, you poor thing. I can't even imagine having such bad nightmares all the time. So, yeah, oh, clear conscience, maybe. I don't know. That's interesting, isn't it? I don't know. But, yeah.
Yeah, I think with messages, back to Karen's, I guess, throwing it out into the chat room, messages. I think a lot of people do get messages in their dream time. I mean, I know I've talked to a lot of clients and friends and anybody that, you know, when we look at what the dream is about, there's usually, not usually, I won't say usually, scratch that, but there can often be a message. I mean, sometimes I do think it's just your brain sorting out what you did that day, or, you mm-hmm. know, you have too much in your head. And so some of it has to like sort out. But I do think that there are messages that come through, you know, in dream time, or it's possible to have them, you know, just because you have, you're more open, I think, and a little bit less going on. So spirit can get through. And, yeah. And then she said, Karen in the chat room said, I have not had direct messages involving others, but usually it's a message to me from myself. Oh yeah. And that's totally possible. And then she said, I've had visitations from relatives who've passed on, and that is actually quite, I don't know, common. And I guess the way that you can tell if it's a real conversation it feels real. You know, when you have those and stuff, I don't know if you don't remember him, you said, but when you have these dreams that just, it feels like it actually happened. When you wake up, you go, oh my gosh, that actually happened. I do think it happened. I think in some form, you are having that conversation with that person, and that is a visitation. So one of the things that I talk to people about when it comes to dreams is, you know, paying attention to some of the key points, I guess, when you're looking at the dream, because sometimes they get really weird or disturbing even. And when you have a dream that is really, it catches your attention, whether it's really good or really bad, you know, looking at the key points and taking out some of the nonsense, because mm-hmm. some of it is just ridiculous. Like I've had people say, well, I murdered someone, and then that's never anything I would do. I'm like, okay, let's take out the fact that you murdered someone, because it's probably not true that you'd never do that. But let's look at the other points of the dream and see how that might bring some kind of message. You know, you take out the stuff that's absolutely ridiculous and not even an option, and then look mm-hmm. at some of the main points, and then you can actually maybe figure out some of the, what is maybe trying to come through, you know, mm-hmm. message wise. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, you can get messages, you can get, you know, something coming, you know, fortune telling, we'll call it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, dreams are really helpful, I think, for getting and receiving information.
Mm-hmm. So Karen is asking, do you interpret via guides, spirit guides?
When I do the work, yeah, I do everything through my guides. I don't do anything on my own because I don't know. I don't, you know, when you're working with spirit, you just want to work with the ones you trust. So I do, but I don't know. I couldn't speak for anybody else, but that's how I do it. So I interpret through them. You know, they help me sort out, because some of the dreams that people come to me with are messed up, like really messed up, super messed up. Yeah. So you just have to work. I work with them to help sort out through some of the stuff.
Wow.
So let's see here. Cindy in the chat. We're getting all sorts of good stuff here on dreams alone. This might be a show on dreams here. Cindy said, I've had very vivid dreams of being murdered in extreme detail where I can feel the damage being done to my body. Oh my goodness. Okay. She said, I have to wake myself up. I've had 4 different ones with 4 different deaths. Yeah, that's some serious stuff. So Cindy, feel free to let me know if we can talk about what we talked about earlier, because we did have this conversation actually a couple weeks ago. And let me know if I can continue on that path. I'll skip to the next one. Amazing Waddles said, they aren't dreams. I get messages from people to stop being a jerk. I wish they were dreams. Oh, so people in real life. Got it. Okay. You wish they were dreams and not real life. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I can't help you there. And Karen's saying me too. Oh, well, okay. So we'll just continue. But dreams are interesting. Oh, Cindy said, yes, no problem. So one of the things that I was saying to her when she told me this before, because she did tell me this before, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Can you imagine, Stephanie, having a dream where you feel yourself getting murdered? Like you feel it happening to your body? Like that's messed up. I'm not saying you're messed up, but feeling that would be messed up.
I think it would be really hard to go to sleep knowing that you had those dreams. And that's like when I was listening to The Calling last week, and they were interviewing these people, this man from the Abyss show, and he was talking about these horrible nightmares. And I'm like, I think I even wrote in the chat room, oh my God, I don't think I'd ever want to go to sleep, you know, because this is awful. This is just awful. Ooh.
Yeah. It is, yeah. So with Cindy, back to her feeling being murdered, we talked about this, this, you know, when it was happening, because it wasn't happening every night. This is, you know, but it would happen often. And it was coming up from some of these stressors that were coming up in her life that were, I believe, kind of playing out in this dream time in this severe, extreme form, you know. And it wasn't like, I think we had talked about, you know, could it be past lives? And I looked at, energetically at it. And this, again, Karen, goes back to your question, do you work with your guides? And I do, because I looked at them and I said, is it past life? And I don't, it didn't look like it. They weren't showing me anything from past lives. So I thought it must be these stressors in this life that are really kind of being acted out in this dream time. And yeah, just really like extreme release of, you know, until maybe the situation gets resolved or something. So anyway, crazy stuff.
Wow,
that just,
that is...
I can't imagine actually feeling it. Like, that would be disturbing to me.
Oh.
And I feel bad that she goes through that, because that's...
Yeah, yeah. I, you know, I can honestly say the only night, well, of the five nightmares I've had in my life, and I don't, there's probably been more, but I mean, I remember one where somebody was chasing me with a knife and they were going to kill me. That was so many years ago. And that was probably, I was taking a different kind of allergy medicine, and believe it or not, one of the side effects that were a very small percentage of people, and you know, I whenever I have to take a medicine, it always interferes with me in some way, shape, or form. I'm always going to be that one of the 2%. Nightmares were a problem with this one. So, wow, I stopped taking that. I said, don't ever give that to me again, you know? So, interesting. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, medication can do that too. You know, it's one of the side effects of a lot of different ones.
Yep. Yeah, I didn't.
And
I had
an allergy medicine. Yeah, but
I had some pretty strong pain meds from my recent surgery, and I did not take them because I thought, you know, it just, they mess with me too much, and my intuition and my who and what I can see, and I don't like that at all. So, I didn't take them. No way.
No, I don't like to take medications at all. You know.
Yeah.
So,
Wolf said dreams can be a caution. Yes, they can be a caution. They can absolutely, just like any kind of message coming through, it could be a cautionary message, you know, something that could be coming up, like a premonition, you know, or an omen, like Karen had said, omen, you know. So yeah, you can have all sorts of information come through. You can have healing come through. I've had people tell me, and I know that I'm a dream walker, and I have had many people come to me, even sometimes in the same day, will tell me, you came to me in a dream last night and helped me. And I don't remember this, because I'm not supposed to remember this stuff, I guess. When you're a dream walker, you don't necessarily remember going and helping and doing like lots of stuff when you're sleeping. But yeah, I've had people say that I went and helped them with whatever, or did a, you know, Reiki session with them or healing session or whatever. And yeah, so there's all sorts of cool stuff that can happen in dream time. So,
So Dave in the chat room is saying, I would look at the things that are killing you in life right now. These dreams may be trying to alert you to what you may need to avoid to have a more peaceful life. Mm-hmm. Are killing you. Yes. Yeah, sorry, Dave. That are killing you in life. Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you,
what's stressing you out?
Apart, for sure. And people visiting you. Yes. My mom, I'm so happy when my mom and dad visit me in my dreams, really, you know. And my dad comes often, as you know, he kind of hangs out a lot. Mom, not so much. So I'm really excited when I see her, because it's like, Mom, there you are. But I do believe they visit us in their dreams. And what's interesting in my family is sometimes, there was one time when I saw both of them, and we were at, I don't know, was that like some family event? And I asked my siblings, each one of them, because I called them the next day, and everybody had this, had a dream with Mom and Dad. That, like, within, you know, isn't that interesting, you know?
That's cool.
Yeah,
Karen said, why don't dreams give us encouragement? It's usually a caution or warning. Okay, yeah. So that's a good point. Here's the deal. They do give you encouragement. They do. There are dreams that are really nice, helpful, encouraging, but if they're not, like, jarring you because they're not nasty, are you going to remember them? Or are they going to be memorable, right? So I've had people come to me all the time and say, oh, I only get bad premonitions. I'm like, well, that's not true. You just don't know that the good ones are also premonitions, because you're not scared by them, or you're not, you know, intimidated or whatever. So if you have cautionary dreams or negative dreams. You probably also have the good ones. You just maybe don't remember them because they're not catching your attention enough. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this. I don't know if it was in here or on the chat, Facebook or whatever, but I would wake up after my surgery for like a week. I would wake up to hearing myself, cheering myself on, telling myself I was doing a good job healing.
Oh, I saw like, that on Facebook. You're doing so good. You wrote that on there, yeah.
Right? So yeah. It was funny because I could hear my voice fading in my head, encouraging me, you know, good job, you're doing so good. This is all working out so well. You're healing so well. Keep it up. And I could hear myself like saying that as I was waking up. So I was cheering myself on. So, and it felt like a really good, whatever else was happening, I don't remember, but it felt really good. It felt really encouraging. And I was really like happy and I was laughing at actually because I thought it was so funny. But if you're having tough dreams, you're probably having good ones. You just may not remember them because they're not as they're not grabbing your attention, I would assume.
Yeah, jaw dropping so, kind of thing, you know. Yeah, shaking you. Yeah. Well, interesting stuff. Maybe we should devote a whole show towards dreams and nightmares.
I know, right?
That kind of stuff. Yeah, people are really interested in that.
Yeah, exactly. And Kat was saying mostly they're a way of working out problems we can't while we're awake. And I agree with that, yeah. too. Part of it, I don't think that's the only thing that dreams do, mm-hmm. but they can. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, no, when you have fun, like I said, I'm sure I dream all the time. I just don't really, I'm not aware of them. You know, in the last few nights, they've been like constant. It's like, I always say it's like going to a movie theater. It's like I go to sleep at night and oh my gosh, the show just goes on. So, so I wake up kind of tired though, you know.
I dream every night. I remember a lot of my dreams, although I don't write them down anymore. I used to. I would write them down and now, I mean, I will forget them until, you know, if something comes up that they pop back in, but otherwise I don't usually remember them. But I'll remember them first thing in the morning. I'll think about them and then I'll kind of let them go, you know, once I get up and start walking around. But I dream every night. They're always in color. Not everybody dreams in color. I mean, that's the rumor anyway. A lot of people do, but not everybody does, which I think is interesting. I do dream in color. And I remember a lot of them. I love having lucid dreaming. We've talked about this before. Lucid dreaming where you are aware you're dreaming. And so you can interact and like choose where it's not a dream where things are just happening and you don't have control. You can, when you're lucid dreaming, you know you're dreaming so you could do things. So I always fly because I can't do that in my human body. So when I'm dreaming and I know I'm dreaming, I make myself fly because I know I can. And I think that's fun. Oh. That's like my go-to all the time.
Are you exhausted when you wake up?
No.
Oh.
Well, I better not be I guess sometimes I am and I don't realize why, but I'll have three or four people say you came to me last night. I'm like, I should be tired because I'm running around at night doing all this stuff and I should be tired, but I guess most of the time I'm not. I do sleep a lot, though, I guess, now that I think about it. I'll sleep like 8 hours at night, and then I'll take a nap during the day.
I
do sleep a lot. I sleep a lot. I wonder if that's why. I never put two and two together. I wonder if that's why. Might be.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm lucky if I get, you know, 6.5 hours. And that's, you know, maybe broken because I wake up in the middle somewhere, you know? So, yeah.
I sleep a lot because I could sleep 2 hours in the day easy and then sleep another 8 at night easy.
Oh,
no problem.
Never me. No.
I wonder if that might be why. I wonder if it's because I'm actually kind of tired.
Probably
doing that stuff all at night.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't doubt it. Interesting. Yeah, I'm always amazed when people tell me they get 8+ hours of sleep a night. I'm like, really? Are you kidding? I never sleep. Even when I can, I never sleep more than 6.5, maybe 7 if I'm super tired. You know, then I'm wide awake. Mm-hmm. You know, so. You know, interesting. And I can never really sleep in the day. I'd like to lay down and I maybe sleep for 5 minutes and then I'm wide awake. So,
I could do it. I think a couple of days ago I slept in the afternoon. I slept after dinner and then I went to bed at night and slept.
Oh my God.
Those are my days off. Goodness. I mean, when I have a day off, I sleep a lot just because I think energetically the work I do is really exhausting. So, yeah, I do sleep a lot when I can. So
mm-hmm.
we have a ton of stuff that we haven't even got to yet. Let me scroll back here. I want to make sure. Because Sherry said, what about demon attack nightmares?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think we need to do a whole different show about this. I know,
but we're gonna go with this because we have so many cool things in the chat room, but I think we should devote another show to it because I don't want to blow off all the stuff in the chat room.
No.
Because there's so much good stuff in here.
I wake up when the food bowl is empty. Yes, I understand, because the cats are on you. Because I want to eat. Cats is me too. All right.
Well, we should take a break because I want to get back to some of these that we skipped in the chat room. So we should take a break first.
Yeah. So we will be back in 2 minutes. You're listening to The Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network.
Are listening to Para-X. Demons, vampires, werewolves, skinwalkers. All of this and more. Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show.
We all go through life secure in the knowledge of who we are. But what would you do if one day you found out that you grew up in a family that wasn't quite as normal as you were led to believe? You see, the world around us is very complex. It's made up of many layers. And when you start to peel back those layers, either by choice or by accident, you just might discover a hidden truth. The magical world and the mortal worlds are intermingled, with no physical boundary between them. It's all a matter of perception. In Shelley Gordon's case, it's also a matter of destiny. And what she uncovers about herself after her chance encounter with Timothy Titchmarsh, a mysterious little old man with a twinkle in his eye, changed her life completely. He told her of shocking, carefully guarded family secrets that had been unspoken for many generations. But the biggest shock of all was learning that she was not only a witch, but the great-granddaughter of an elite sorceress who tragically died before she could carry out a vital and perilous task that Shelley was now fated to complete. The thought of having to learn the craft, integrate herself into the magical world, and risk her life to finish the task is enough to give anyone a bad case of the collywobbles. Marla Brooks' new fiction book, A Bad Case of the Collywobbles, is now available at Amazon.com in both paperback and Kindle formats. Visit her website at marlabrooks.com to find out more.
Yeah, but this is new. This is better. This is so good. This is...
Are we back on?
No.
Oh.
Are we? No. I hope not.
Back to the again. Gosh, we're talking about Key Lime LaCroix. And we missed
oh my gosh. Sarge again. Sorry about that, Sarge. Thank you for giving us the go that we didn't hear. And we're back talking about, well, we're in our paranormal smorgasbord, right? But we're talking about dreams. We talked about the whole first half so far because we have so many good comments in the chat room, as usual, with our smorgasbord. People have amazing contributions. And so we're still talking dreams, and I want to go back in the chat room because we had a few things that we haven't been able to get to yet. Sherry was asking about demon attack nightmares, and they happen, but here's the deal. There has to be some serious stuff going on also to have something like that. You don't just have that and everything else is peachy keen in your life, right? And it's super rare, like really rare. You know, this is something that I wanted to talk about today, too, if we had time, is how rare demons are, right? Mm-hmm. I had an emergency extraction today, and I got an email, you know, can you help us? She's in the hospital. It's bad. She could die. And I went in, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, she is being attacked by a very wicked human soul. I could imagine that someone would think this is a demon if they don't know any better. You know, if they're intuitive or sort of intuitive or whatever, they would think this is a demon, the way this thing was behaving. But it isn't. It's just a really wicked and totally twisted and getting more twisted as she goes, human soul. But can you be attacked in your nightmares by a demon? Sure. Is it likely? No. And would you have everything else in your life perfectly balanced and, you know, everything's good? Or even just normal life? No. You're not going to have a demon attack you in your nightmares. That just doesn't happen. Of all the things that can happen, that's way back there in the back of possibility. You know what I mean? Because demons aren't common anyway. I mean, they're out there. Of course, there's tons of them out there. But to be that attacked, by demons and then have it happen in your nightmare? No.
It's very rare. So Dave is wondering, how were you able to identify what that entity was?
I went into a remote session. And I had to be really careful because I could see her before I even went into the session. And she saw me. And she's wicked. She's wicked mean. Like, she wasn't nice in life, and she's way worse now because she hasn't let go of her life, and she's just stewing in her wickedness. So I went into a remote session, and I found her, and I had to detach her, and she's mean as hell. And I had to do clearings on everybody here afterwards just to make sure she didn't somehow attach to anybody, because she is not... It's hard to work with human souls. It's almost easier to work with something that's non-human because you have that free will thing happening. So she was mean as heck. Yeah. So anyway, that's how I did that. And let's see here. Demon attack. There it is. Okay, I'm going to go back. We've got going back into the chat room here. Oh, Dave said you can program yourself to remember your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You can. It takes practice to do that. And there's different methods you can to do that. But you can program yourself to remember them. You have to start before you go to sleep, and it's best if you have something to write on when you wake up. So you can write down anything that did happen so you can start, remembering it. I think once you wake up, if you don't go right into your dream, like think about it, write it down, whatever, you're going to lose it anyway. And if you have a hard time remembering, it's going to be even worse. So
absolutely.
Sherry asked, let's see here, does anyone dream in other languages? Yes. Have you? You don't remember your dreams. It's hard to ask you these questions.
Well, I remember bits and pieces. I don't remember really full dreams. They may be very vivid for 10 or 15 minutes, but then it fades, like, in no time. But I certainly don't remember ever speaking in a different language. That's interesting.
Okay. Karen said she did when she dreamt in Spanish when she was immersed in learning the language. So she was learning it and she was speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
I spoke French for a long time in my dreams.
Interesting.
And I don't speak French here.
Oh, okay.
No, I do not speak French, not a lick of it. And I know it was French. I could converse back and forth with people. And it was always Christmas time. I don't understand that part. It was always Christmas time in these dreams. It doesn't matter what time of year. For real, it was like any time of year, but it would always be Christmas time in the dream, and I would be speaking French.
Wonder what that means.
That was for years. And they weren't necessarily bad. They were just, we were doing different things around the holidays and these big trees, and there would be these big, castles or something. And because I remember these tapestries on the wall, but it was like current time. Anyway, I was speaking French like nobody's business.
Wow.
Fluent.
That's crazy. Dave is saying sometimes the words are in Ojibwa. Yeah, well. You hang out with a lot of Ojibwas, Dave, or in Minnesota, and you are a First Nations person yourself. So, I don't know. I mean, for me, I guess maybe Norwegian. My grandma did speak a little bit Norwegian, so I can understand still some of that. But
yeah,
interesting. Or alternative life world. There we go. An alternative life world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Sherry's saying past life. Was it past life? No, I don't think so. It felt current. It feels like now. And the people that were in it, I mean, there would sometimes be current celebrities, like we were just hanging out, talking French. Like, I don't even know if that person talks French either or speaks French, but we were definitely speaking French, and it was current. It felt current. Could the situation, like the place we were in, be from a past life? I suppose. But everything was absolutely current.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, Kat says she dreams in black and white.
Yeah, I saw that. No, I do know that when I dream, it's in color, because I remember vivid colors, for sure. Mm.
She said it was because she thought she grew up watching black and white TV, so that's why she dreams in black and white.
Oh,
I don't think that's why, but
no.
That's a good way to think about it.
Interesting idea. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Karen is saying she has a recurring dream about an alien invasion.
Oh. Hopefully that's not a sign or a premonition. Well, I guess it's probably, I shouldn't even say that because it's already happened. It's just not like movie style where we're like a global invasion where they come descending down on us and start shooting things up. But we already have, they're already here. So,
wow.
Something to think about.
You'd have to prove that to me. I'm not sure.
What's that? Well, yeah, I know. We see different on that.
Yes, yes.
But I know they're here. That's, you know, and it was, who was I having a conversation with the other day about the different types of aliens? I can't remember. I don't think it was here. Who did I talk to? Someone about the different types of aliens that are already here. You know, and some of them are disguised as humans and some of them are just, we can't see them. Kind of like the whole Bigfoot thing, right? You might catch a glimpse of them here and there, but most of the time you can't see them. And because they have this ability to maybe go between dimensions or shift or whatever, and or just hide out in different parts of the earth, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, I know I think it's different types. Some of them have good intentions and some of them do not have bad.
They say the grays are the evil ones, you know, the gray ones that everybody talks about, how they come down and suck them back up to the spaceship and do whatever they're doing to them, all those mean things. I don't know.
Oh, Cindy said we talked about aliens. I can't remember us talking about the different types of aliens. Maybe we did. I don't know. I seem to talk about aliens quite a bit. So I just have to be careful because I keep saying like it'd be cool to meet one, like that I legit know it's one. But then what if I meet one of the ones that I don't want to meet? Like, do I get to choose? I don't think so. So I say I'd like one to land in the yard. But what if it's one that wants to take me and do bad things? I don't know. I don't get to decide.
No, I don't want to land anywhere near me. Mm-mm. Are you Rh negative blood type?
I don't know. I have no idea.
You know what they say about Rh negative blood types is that they're, you know, I'm Rh negative.
So if you believe that, then why don't you believe in aliens?
I don't believe it. I just think it's funny because that's what they say. Mm. You know, because there's only like a very small percentage of all people on planet Earth have Rh negative. I happen to be one of them.
Well, I think it's interesting that you think you go that far, but you won't go all the way.
No, I don't believe it. I mean, that's just what they say. And I just kind of laugh. I think, okay, well, you know, whatever. You can think that.
Dave said, there's a theory that cryptids are others that have been left behind or ships, you know, from ships that crashed beyond repair and can't leave.
Hmm. Yeah. Maybe.
Could be.
Maybe.
Although, I don't know if I believe any chupacabras are running around in the skies, crash landing their ships here.
Or dogmen or any of those kind of things, you know, or how about the sea monsters, you know?
I don't know. I think that there might be some truth to that, though. Or what if they were their pet? Like an alien crashed and their pet was a chupacabra or something, and then they got loose. Or their pet was something else and it mated with one of our wolves or dogs or something, and then now we have chupacabras because it's like half alien, half...
Yeah. Well, it could be. Interesting stuff. You know who we need to have on our show is Nick Redfern, because he really dives into all this stuff. He's quite an interesting fellow.
Yeah, you can ask him about chupacabras and all that.
Oh, yes, and he loves to talk about Men in Black, you know, and oh my gosh, he's crazy. He's got a lot of good stuff. He's got a lot of books. I mean, he's really delved into all this stuff.
Kat said, there's a theory, this is in the chat room, theory that aliens, Bigfoot, Slenderman, Hatman, most everything might be something akin to what the Fae were, and or Jinn just beings who show us whatever we might fear. That's an interesting theory. Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
There's a million theories
to think on
out
that
there.
One. Mm-hmm. Huh?
There's a million theories out there. You know, who knows?
On that one. That's interesting. And she also said, I heard what aliens do to cows. I'm going to hard pass on meeting them based on what I said before. Because I thought, like, they could land in my yard. But, then again, you don't get to choose. It's the ones that do the things to cows or the ones that, you know, can be these beautiful light beings that are all love and light. And I don't think you get to choose. So,
no, I doubt it. So, yeah. No. They can stay away from me. That's for sure.
I know. You instead want to take a canoe out to a river and get pulled down by a mermaid.
I would.
That's your
absolutely.
Jam.
You know, I say I'm going out to the island this weekend, so I'm going to look for those mermaids, man.
And are you going to swim? Try and get pulled down by one?
No, but you know, Casey and I both have said we're going to jump in. We'll see. We'll see what the temperatures are. They're only in the 60s this week, so you know, that water's pretty cold out there. It's like 40 or something, you know? But I think it would be fun to jump in just for a little bit, you know? Maybe just jump in and get out. I would get in.
Who were we talking to that said that they pull you in when you jump in the water?
Was it Alan? Because he was talking about the mermaid up in Big Bang.
Yeah, that's it. And you were all over that. You're like, absolutely. You're nuts, lady.
I think they're right. They really do. You know, and there's that whole bloop. And I mean, there's just too many things to discount it. I mean, they've been on cave walls for thousands of years. I mean, come on. They're there. They just haven't been found yet. And I hope they're never found, actually. I hope that we're always wondering. Interesting. I know I was just looking at the mermaid stuff before we came on tonight because I found something about the bloop, you know, that mysterious sound that happened in the 90s that they can't figure out and they think it's mermaids and whatever. Interesting stuff for sure. So Kat's saying, why do aliens never have any protective gear on? They just happen to breathe our atmosphere okay? Aren't concerned about catching anything? Maybe they're from here or maybe they're older than we are.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And you know, here's what I don't understand is the depictions of aliens. Whenever someone draws an alien or, you know, shows an image of an alien, why do they always have a very similar form to human? They have a head, two mm-hmm. arms, two legs, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. torso, right? For the most part, they're upright. Mm-hmm. Not every single, but a lot of them out there have these same or very similar human forms. I think that's highly unlikely unless maybe they are from here or they put us here, mm-hmm. right? We're from wherever they are and they put us here. So, yeah, it's very interesting because I think that is incredibly unlikely that all these aliens that are supposed to be out there, because it's unlikely we're alone, how can they all have a very similar shape to us? Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
I don't think that makes any sense.
I don't know. Interesting. I don't know.
Yep. And so maybe they're older than we are. Well, maybe they are us. Maybe they... What if all these different aliens have went to all these different planets and seeded them and then see where they evolved from? You know, or they evolved differently. So now we have all these different variations from all these different planets mm-hmm. because they drop us in and let us... do our thing, and then we all kind of evolve a little bit differently.
Or created us with their thoughts. Hmm. Or their thoughts are used to project an image for us. Well, that could be shape changers. Yeah. So, speaking of space changers, we were watching Twilight this weekend because it was the never-ending marathon, and it made me think about the Kuliet Indians out on the Pacific coast out there really do believe that their ancestors shapeshifted into wolves. This is how Stephanie Meyer got the idea for Twilight. And it was to protect them from vampires. I mean, this is kind of all true. Could that be true? I don't know. I mean, I think it's pretty cool. This small little tribe that's only like 70 people have never petered out. They've always, you know, and they say they have these stories about how it all happened, and you know, they shifted into wolves to protect the tribe, right? To protect the pack. So I think it's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. You know,
it is interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, I just laugh because people think it was all come from Stephanie Meyer's amazing brain, but no, it's actual true stuff out there. So I'd like to see it.
I have not seen the movie, so I don't know that part of it. But
oh my gosh! Oh no! I love so well. You know, I went on the Twilight tour with some friends of mine. You know, and we went to all those places, and we were at the Indian reservation and met the Kuliets, and it was fabulous. It was amazing. I still want to go back sometime. And now Stephanie's coming out with a new book. I'm so excited. It's coming out, I think, August, and it's going to be Twilight from Edward's point of view instead of Bella's point of view. So, wow, all of us Twi girls are really excited about this one. But yeah, so we watched Breaking Dawn 2 twice over the weekend because we just happened to turn on the TV when it was on, and we sat there mesmerized watching the whole thing twice, you know, and remember when we first saw it in the movie theaters, you know, and how we were just screamed, and, you know, because there's surprising things that happen in that one. It's the last one, you know, so anyway, but that's interesting. So we talk about these shapeshifters. I really kind of believe that there are such things. You know,
I think there are shapeshifters for sure.
Yeah. So Dave's asking, were Adam and Eve actually biologists?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I think that Adam and Eve aren't. Yeah, I don't think that they were. I mean, were they actually real people, or are they just a story?
Know. Right. Really? I know. Don't you wonder that?
Well, no, I'm pretty sure it's a story. I'm pretty sure most of the Bible is a story to teach lessons and all that stuff. So did Adam and Eve exist? No, probably not. Or versions of them at some point probably did. But two on the planet? No. No.
Yeah. Well, and then, yeah. I mean, interesting. You know, there's just so many things out there. You know, one of the things I do want to do, not even talking about any of this, or it's not in relation to any of this, is when I'm out on the island, I told Casey, we have to go back to Roach Harbor up there and go to that wood, that, you know, the, in the woods, they have that big where all the McMillans are buried, you know, and they say they fly around at midnight. They say it's very haunted back there. And Casey says, why, Mom? We've been there 100 times. And I said, yeah, but we've never been there at night because, you know, you're not supposed to be there. But maybe we can sneak back there somehow. I don't know. I think it would be really fun. Or maybe we can talk to some people who let us in. I know we're not supposed to do that without permission. But go there during the day. I think that would be really cool. So I'll report back if we go to see if anything.
Yeah, you should. Maybe even take a camera and a voice recorder.
Yeah, because they're all, so it's this giant mausoleum in the middle of the woods. You would never know it was there. It's beautiful, and it's fashioned in the same way that the biblical was, you know, and they've got this table with all these chairs around, and in the base of these chairs are the ashes of the family McMillan, you know? So, yeah, so they say ghosts fly at midnight up there, you know, and I mean, we have heard that so many times, it's unbelievable. So yeah, we have had a voice recorder there before, but we have never really stayed there for a long time. So maybe this time, you know, we'll just kind of hang out there for a little bit. We'll see.
Yeah, but I would keep us posted.
Yeah, I sure would love to know. So what is everybody chat? It's only been written about 400 times. Mia, are you talking about the Bible, Dave? I don't know.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So why midnight? I have no idea. That's just what all the locals claim. You know, they tell me these things and I'm like, really? That's what I say too. Why midnight? Why not any time of the day or night? You know? So, and you
weren't you going to get someone to come, go out there, take you out there, and we were going to do a live on location one year?
That'd be fun. Yes. I would love to do that. You know, sometime I think it would be really fun to investigate. I really do think they would let a team out there to do that and go there overnight. You'd have to get permission and have to make a definite plan, you know. But I do think it would be fun. Is that actual midnight or is that midnight Indian time? You know, actually, I think it's probably any time after it gets dark, right? But you're not supposed to be there. I mean, it's like a park area and they have these graves at the beginning of this area that are like hundreds of years old. So whenever they first started settling San Juan Island, which was a couple hundred years ago, there's graves there that are that old, and they have these trees growing through them, and they have these fences around each grave, and it's spooky as heck. And then you walk through the wooded area. It's beautiful wooded, very thickly wooded. It's about a mile back there to this mausoleum, and then there's this ginormous mausoleum. Unbelievable. It's actually beautiful. And if you're there right at a certain time of day when that sun hits it, it appears golden. It looks gold, like liquid gold. It's just the coolest thing ever. So, yeah. I'll have to find out from the locals when exactly that it looks gold, because that would be fun to get some good pictures. You know, maybe we can go there then, since we can't really go there at night. Kat says there's a difference, and Dave said yes, there is. So that's exciting. So what a great show this has been. I did want to tell everybody that there's a new show on the Travel Channel. Hey, and it's called Hotel Paranormal, and it's about hotel stays. And guess who narrates it? Dan Aykroyd. So I think it's probably pretty good. And the first episode, this person was staying at this hotel, and he had an attachment spot talking about attachments, you know, and it goes over his story, apparently, and then they reenact it, and Dan Aykroyd talks about it, and I guess it's fabulous. I gotta watch it. I was thinking it was brand new and hadn't been on yet, but I guess it premiered, like, mid-June, so I'm going to have to look for that. Hotel Paranormal on the Travel Channel. And everybody knows Dan Aykroyd. We all love him, right? So
yep.
It'll be good. Yep.
Original Ghostbuster. Gotta love it.
Midnight Indian time might be 12:15. Yeah, exactly, right? We just never know. You know, one of the things I want to say, too, so this has nothing to do with paranormal, but about a month and a half ago, you interviewed Lori from the DNR about the Eagle's Nest.
Yep,
sadly, awesome. So, you know, there were originally three babies. Mm-hmm. One of them passed. And now they've both fledged. The other two have fledged. And one of them flew into a power line and died just within the last day. And they don't, I couldn't read it because it made me so sad. But they're kind of thinking maybe fireworks had something to do with it. This is so sad. And, it, you know, not by... So it's like these fireworks that people are just shoot off, right? Oh my gosh, I can't even believe it. I just think it's just awful. One of the photographers that I've met, who really is a really good photographer, is the one that found him, and I guess he wrote a big thing, and I can't read it, but because I'll cry, and we don't need that. But anyway, I think we need to really watch those fireworks, people. I really don't like fireworks. I think the community ones are okay. I think these ones that people shoot off themselves are bad, 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 and they should not be allowed anymore. Just my point of view. But animals hate them. You know, things like this happen. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. I know. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. That's sad.
Yeah. But the other one's doing good, I guess. We'll have to have her back on. We said we were going to do that later this summer, so we'll have to, you know, maybe have her on late August or something. Kat, did you look it up? You can find the mausoleum online. I think I put a bunch of pictures up there, too, but they're fabulous. It's a fabulous place. It's on San Juan Island up in Roach Harbor. Animals have tough lives. Yes, they do, especially when humans are doing all this crazy stuff all the time.
Oh, I clicked on that link that she posted. That's cool.
Afterglow Vista, yeah, that's what it's called. Yeah, it's the coolest place. Yeah, and I did a blog post about it years ago too. And there's a lot of different, photos in there and my impressions and stuff. So yeah, and I haven't been there for a while. We haven't been there the last few times, so maybe we'll head up there. Well, here we are, almost time to go.
It is. This is fun. The dream thing was fun. I think we should maybe do a show about that and get some more information and maybe find someone who's more into dreams or analysis or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be really good. And for those of you, the calling is on tomorrow night. I guess I don't really know what they're talking about tomorrow night. I haven't seen an ad, but that's our sibling show, and they are on at 8 p.m. Eastern time on the Para-X Radio Network. So listen to them. And Dave's saying, not fair, the time went too fast. Yes, it did. Unfortunately, we need a do-over.
we start needing a two-hour show,
to get two into it. Oh my gosh. Well, we will be back next week for sure.
Yes.
So everyone, have a fabulous week. Thank you for listening. If there are any troops listening, hey, thanks for your service. We so appreciate it. And thanks for listening.
Yes, absolutely. And Para-X, thank you so much for hosting us. Everybody in the chat room and everyone listening, thank you very much for tuning in tonight. And we hope to have you tune in next week for our next show, our next July show. And we also thank you, Sarge, so much for being our most awesome producer, even when we don't pay attention. Super sorry about that, too.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Good night, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good week.